It's time for This Day in History with Kevin Allen and Bill Shiwe on KJC Country 104.7 FM and WKJC.com.
Hey, that sounds like a great idea. So let's welcome in the man himself, the historian of the show, Bill Shiwe. Good morning, Bill.
Good Thursday, August last 31st of the year, I guess. Last 31st, yes, of August.
It is, you're right. Well, until I guess we do have a December 31st, right? And an October 31st.
Right, I mean, as far as August. But,
there you go.
And I guess there are some people, I know my wife showed me a picture, and I bet you there were some people up last night singing the Marcells' 1961 song, Blue Moon,
yes. And from what I understand, though, it was a super blue moon. I don't know why it's a super one, but it was definitely a blue moon.
It was super, I guess, because people said it was super.
There you go.
And if you missed it, don't worry. 2037 is the next one.
That's just around the corner.
Just around the corner. We have a day today that it's kind of a weird day. Mm. It was kind of... the idea was brought by two surfers. This is what I found. This idea for today, 1968, according to legend here, two surfers came up with this idea. But anyway, in New Zealand, it's called Scroggin. In Europe and European countries, it's called Student Fodder. But here it's called GORP.
GORP. You know what? GORP is like what? Trail mix or something like that?
Exactly. It is National Trail Mix Day. Sorry about all of those people trying to figure out what I'm talking about. But yeah, it's National Trail Mix Day. And as I mentioned, two surfers, this is what they say, 1968, they wanted some energy. Now, you would never think it would be surfers.
No.
You would think it'd be some kind of a person that climbed a mountain or so.
Yeah, exactly. Hikers, things like that. Yeah.
But I did like, I don't know if anybody, if you caught the European word, it's called student fodder, F-O-D-D-E-R, which I think has to do with animal food.
I think you're right, yeah.
Well, anyway, GORP, for those of you that have heard the word GORP like Kevin has, raise your hand if you know what this stands for.
You know, and I was trying to think of that while you were saying it. I'm like, I know I have heard that somewhere. It was probably a stump the chump question at some point, but what does it stand for?
Well, I think the first two would come from Daisy Duke because it's good old.
Oh.
Good old raisins and peanuts.
Good old raisins and peanuts. Yeah, I do remember hearing that.
Yeah, well, they mentioned a number of different mixes and says Trader Joe puts out a lot of them. And so I picked up some from Trader Joe to mention banana chips, peanut butter chips, peanuts and almonds, and dark chocolate chips. Those are the different kinds. What I liked, I don't know if people would, but I like the small little marshmallows in there.
Oh, I never even thought about marshmallows in trail mix, but sure, why not?
Yeah, and actually, 1970s when I was cross country skiing, that was a, you know, that was 68 was what they say to surfers. So I was right in the mix.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill, you really came up with that one. I really was in the mix, Kevin.
I was waiting. You were about to finish that sentence, and you already caught yourself. Yeah.
We moved to 1899. Here's my question for you people: do you need your carpets cleaned?
Yes.
Stanley Steamer Day.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, I think Stanley Steamer's still around, too.
But it's not Stanley Steamer Carpets. It's Stanley Steamer Climbing Mount Washington in New Hampshire.
What?
This is a Stanley Steamer car.
Oh, that's right. I do remember Stanley Steamers as a kind of car. But is there a correlation between the two companies?
No, just a word, I guess. That's a good question. But Freeland and his wife, Flora. Now, Freeland had actually a twin brother, but Freeland takes his wife, Flora, and tells her we're gonna go out for a Sunday drive. And I don't know if it was a Sunday, but maybe that's what he said. Anyway, that's what I was talking about. They climbed Mount Washington, but that's in New Hampshire, not Washington.
Oh, okay.
It took those two people 2 hours. It was 7.2 miles long, and it was the first time something like this had been done with the steam powered. Now, you wanted to know about Stanley Steamer, and I looked that up, and it was 1947 when that came into being.
That makes sense to me, yeah.
Well, Mark Blomquist over in Hale is a tremendous Boston Red Sox fan, so I'm going to throw this out, Mark. There was a Boston pitcher that was nicknamed Stanley Steamer. Do you remember who that was, Mark?
Maybe he does. The first thing, I don't think he was a Red Sox, so I thought of Stan Bonson, but I think he was a White Sox.
Bob Stanley.
Bob Stanley. Oh, I do remember that name, too. Yeah.
All right. 1950. Hank Williams records this song today, and it goes to number one by the end of the year. This song and Kaliga in 1952. Did I get the...
Kalijah.
Kalijah. Okay, good. Thank you.
Sure.
Kalijah and this song are the only two songs that he played this instrument.
Ooh, wow. The ukulele?
The drums.
The drums, really? I didn't even know Hank played the drums. Wow.
Well, that's why I threw it in there.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yep, and it says here that Moanin' in the Blues was from where I guess it came from.
Moanin' in the Blues, yeah, another Hank legendary tune, sure.
1955, at the General Motors Powerama Auto Show today in Chicago, we might have had this one, but I'm going to throw this one out anyway. 1955, a man who was involved in a number of different... car ideas. William G. Cobb demonstrates a car today at this Autorama, and it was basically a future thing, and he called it the Sunmobile.
Oh.
And why do you think he called it the Sunmobile, Kevin?
Solar-powered?
You're right. It was the first car that actually was shown in this kind of a setting that was used for sun's energy. It was 12 photoelectric cells, and it was kind of the hit of the show. And people, you couldn't drive it off because it was 15 inches long.
Oh, so it was like a little model car.
It was like a little model, yeah. I guess I led up to that one, didn't I? It reminds me a little bit, for those of you that are comic book readers, the 1939, probably if you ever would get a hold of it, it probably would introduce you to something that was very instrumental in cars, and that was the Batmobile.
The Batmobile, yes. What an iconic vehicle from TV that was.
And that was not 15 inches long.
No, I don't think so, yeah.
1957, today, pitcher Dal Costco claimed to fame. He's a young man that's in a minor leagues, and it's actually, I hate to say this, Class D. So
wow. If
you're wondering about where he is, Class D is probably as far as you can go to start, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Anyway, he is a pitcher for the Kingsport, Tennessee team, but he is supposed to, this is 1957, he comes out of high school, he is supposed to have a really, for 1957, a fastball. Now, remember, there's not a type of guns back then that could register, but supposedly the legend goes that it was 116 miles an hour.
What?
But that's what it says. That he could.
Yikes.
Now, I don't know how they got that. To tell you, if they didn't have a gun, how in the world did they pull that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, man.
Well, anyway, this day today, in a 9-inning game, he strikes out 24 batters.
Wow. But...
Well, 9-inning game.
Newsflash.
So, yeah.
Oh, no, newsflash. Thanks for the mentioning Mark this morning. Bob Stanley signed Mark's Red Sox pennant. Okay, thanks, Mark.
Okay. Wow. That was one of those this just ends there.
Yeah, just in. My wife had a thanks, Mark.
So,
you got
24.
You got his name on her. Okay.
So, 24 out of 27 batters?
Yes. And,
wow.
But it says he had 18 walks and 6 wild pitches.
Oh, so I can see, yeah, because he threw so hard, he probably did lose control quite a bit.
But I have two little side bits on this. I thought the reason I brought up his name.
Okay.
There was actually two movies, baseball movies, that were kind of wildly based on his life. Bull Durham.
Bull Durham, I thought of that.
1989 with Tim Robbins playing a character. And The Scout, 1995.
Oh, that one I don't remember. But Bull Durham, yeah, I thought of that when you were talking about how wild he was. That's the main part of that movie. That it's a hilarious movie, one of my favorite baseball movies.
Yep, so and again, there's a young man that really his claim to fame, which was not his speed, it was getting his probably introduced in the movies.
Sure, yeah.
1976, George Harrison of the Beatles is sued today. Yeah. In U.S. District Court in New York City because his 1970 record, My Sweet Lord, contained, according to the judge, words very similar to a 1962 by the Chiffons, and that was called...
He's So Fine,
yes. And this thing went on. This was 1976,
right.
And it said it went on and on and on. It was a $1.6 million libel suit, and it says that it was finally resolved. And I couldn't find the exact details, but it says resolved in 1993.
Wow. Yeah, I know that he was found guilty early on, and then there was appeals and all that. Pretty amazing. But if you listen to both of those songs, you can definitely hear He's So Fine in My Sweet Lord.
And I wonder if Kevin ever played his song from 1976, that was a song about the litigation.
Oh, I'm not familiar with that. What song is that?
The litigation song.
The litigation song. No, I never played the litigation song in any of my radio career, but maybe
okay.
I should have.
Well, you probably shouldn't have because it was only 25. 25 on the list. So that's probably why I never made it anywhere.
That's probably why, yeah.
1981, today legendary film and TV stars contract with NBC ends. 1981, his contract of 30 years ended. It was written in 1951, and NBC said that this TV star could never have any kind of appearance on any other TV show or anything else. Now, you got to remember 1951. How many TV were out there?
Exactly, yeah.
Well, anyway, he did. It said that as the things went on, that it did get changed because 1965, it got changed because there was a lot more wanting him on, and his salary went from $200,000 to $120,000. So who might this man be?
Yeah, who might it be? I don't know.
Bob Hope.
Bob Hope, really?
Yes.
That you could have given me 100 guesses. I don't think I would have thought of Bob Hope.
It was Milton Berle.
What?
That was Milton Berle, not Bob Hope. No wonder you questioned me.
Well, there you go.
It was that blue moon.
That's it. That's what did it to you. Yep.
My last one, 2008, passing away at age 71, and I know Kevin's going to get this, and I'm sure there's some other people out there. He started out with his stage name, or first of all, before he had a stage name, he started out calling himself Jerry Hubbard.
Jerry Hubbard,
Singer, guitarist, composer, actor, country music. After high school, he signed a music contract, took on his new stage name. He was in the military band. Elvis covered his song in 1968, Guitar Man. And Smokey and the Bandit, he was a snowman.
Yeah, that would be Jerry Reed.
Jerry Reed. Yep, he was known as Jerry Hubbard.
I didn't know that. I had never heard that before. If I did, I had long since forgotten it. But once you got into the Guitar Man thing, I knew that was Jerry Reed.
See, you exactly said why his agent told him to change his name.
Yeah, good idea, yeah.
All right, that is my list for today, sir.
A fine list. Just going to add a couple on to it. In 1990, let's do a little baseball. Ken Griffey and Ken Griffey Jr. become the first father and son to play on the same team, the Seattle Mariners. And, in fact, they hit back-to-back singles in the first inning, and both scored. How about that?
I think the Alouz had all of them in the outfield one time.
You're probably right about that. That is probably even a bigger name. Yeah, the Alouz. But and then in 1997, a sad day because Diana, the Princess of Wales, dies in that car crash in a road tunnel in Paris today.
Well, that is August 31st.
There you go.
Tomorrow, check the calendar.
That's right. So as everybody likes to say, Bill, I will talk to you next month, my friend.
Okay, and I'll hold my breath. Thank you.
Thank you.